This is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Now the Blues into the zone. Darren Pang, you mentioned Marty Berger's 691 victories. There's another goal by the Blues.
That was Turgeon.
Turgeon, we just mentioned him.
That was a nice move. Going wide, cutting in, shooting that far post.
Scott Young gave him a little drop pass at the blue line. And Turgeon slid in there on the short side. I think he surprised Jimmy Waite.
He was one of the heroes of the Blues alumni win over the Blackhawks alumni on Saturday at Busch Stadium. And he joins us now on the Johnny Londoff Line Change. Pierre Turgeon, thank you so much for taking the time today, Pierre.
You're very welcome, Cam.
How you doing, buddy? Look, watching you play was fun to watch. I used to watch you when you played for the Blues. I was a big fan of you, man, growing up. And to see you go out there and dominate in front of 50,000 people, you probably haven't had that feeling in a while. How'd that feeling go for you, bud?
More than a while. It's been a while, yeah. listen, the feeling of just getting on that ice when there's 40, 45,000 people watching and looking around was incredible. And having a great game and winning the game at home too it was a lot of fun.
Even just being in the locker room, Turgy, I remember going in there and I tried to get your attention. I've met everybody, you know. Adam Oates coached me. I know Brett Hall. I know Marty Brodeur. I've met all the guys, but I've never really met you before. I've watched you for so long, and you're sitting there next to Peter Stastny, and I think I asked you if I could borrow your stick just to flex. That was a conversation starter that I was trying to have with you, Turgy, and finally I got to meet you and shake your hand. But just being in that locker room with all those superstars, wasn't that something? I mean, just seeing everybody come together like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I was sitting right beside Peter Stastny, and obviously Wang was not too far. And going back in that locker room and all of a sudden catching up with things that they're doing and we're doing. So it was a lot of fun. And then and just the setup of everything, too. Everyone was walking around. You chat with everyone. And next thing you know is game time. And so it went by so quick that you're trying to – you appreciate every moment of it, but it was definitely a great time. And I remember you coming to talk to me a little bit about that, and it's great to meet you there.
He remembered me. Do you guys hear that? You remember me?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that, my man. I do.
When you're retired for a little while, Pierre, and then you step back for an event like this, what do you miss the most about being out on the ice?
Well, the competition, no doubt about that. I mean, you know, there's something about getting on the ice and playing in front of a crowd and feeling if the game is on the line, you're trying to make that different and having that achievement when you win a hockey. There's something about it that it's a great feeling and it's a team effort. You know, you always have guys that chips in different ways, and you could have a Kelly Chief that, you know, could score a goal, but once in a while could get a fight in there, but that might change the momentum of the game that you need. So there's different roles in there that makes but there's definitely we miss the locker room. That's one thing. The other thing is definitely the competition, being on the ice and having fun.
You were with the Blues during a time where the team was very good and making some playoff runs. What's your fondest memory about your time here in St. Louis on the ice?
Well, someone asked me that question. Kelly Chase did, and my biggest memory, obviously, was coming back from behind against Phoenix when we were losing 3-1 in a series in the playoffs. And coming back, I remember that when it was 3-1, we had a big meeting in St. Louis. It was actually in Phoenix in the locker room talking about it. And Joe Quenneville actually asked every single one of us what we thought about it and what can we do to make this better, what can we make that change. And even at that point, Quenneville really believed in what we could do and what we could change. And next thing you know is we came back to make it 3-2. And we tied at 3-3, and we won in overtime. And I scored the OT, the overtime goal. And just from Scott Young going to the defenseman, it was shot from the point. it was going on the left side of the goalie, and there was a small tip that actually went on the right side after that to the net. And that's probably my biggest, it is my biggest goal of my career, to be honest with you.
Oh, I definitely remember that goal. The Jansen household went crazy. That's for sure. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, you have played on a bunch of good teams, and especially that 2000 team with St. Louis when they won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
That was an unbelievable team. What happened in that first round? I just remember this real quick. I remember the front page of the Post-Dispatch had a picture of the team of celebrating the President's Trophy. And instead of the President's Trophy, they said, "Place cup here." And then I believe that was the biggest jinx. I remember looking at that, and my dad said, "Uh-oh." I just remember that vividly, being from St. Louis. What went on in that first round? Because you guys had such an incredible team. What happened with that? Can you go through it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as you're going back, but it's one of those things that you it's one goal that can make a difference. And the next thing you know is you're not in the right place, and you're catching up playing hockey as far as getting back in the series. And I remember not starting well at that point in that series. But you're right. I mean, you got to be playing. You got to be out there to play the game, and it doesn't matter what you do during the season. A lot of times, you got to make sure when that first game starts in the playoff, you're ready to go. And we did add all the horse, and there a lot of people in place. You're talking about Chris Pronger, Al MacInnis, and the fact there was, I mean, what's the chance of having two guys like that on a hockey team? It's LA, as far as defensemen, and Brett Hall in front, and we had Pavel Dimitra, myself. I mean, there's a lot of guys that really. And all of a sudden, we got in these playoffs, and I can't remember the details of it, but I know obviously we should have we should have won and go a lot further than what we did. And it was obviously disappointed about that, and we would have loved to go a little further down, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I definitely vividly remember that. But you did bring up Pavel Dimitra. You brought Pavel Dimitra up, and I know he was loved here, and to see Keith Tkachuk put his jersey on and represent him, and to remind everybody about how Pavel was with this community and with this organization, how much of an unbelievable human being he was. I've heard from so many different people. That was a pretty special moment. I don't know how close you are with Pavel at the time, but how'd that feel for you to see Walt cruise around with that 38 jersey on?
That was very nice of Tkachuk doing that, obviously, wearing his jersey and representing Pavel out there. We all know Pavel was, first of all, a great human being and a great person. You know, he's just, I played with him on the same line, so I communicated a lot, we talk a lot, and I love the guy. And as a hockey player, he was just outstanding, and things he was able to do, and to see on the ice with his hands and his vision, and creating things that a lot of people wouldn't be able to do. He was first of all a great person and a great hockey player, and it was great to see Keith Tkachuk wearing his jersey and representing him on the ice. And it's a sad thing that obviously we lost him, but we have great memories from him, no doubt about that.
We're talking with Pierre Turgeon, four-time All-Star here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change. I didn't realize until looking back at your career for this interview that you broke my heart as a kid. You were on that Islander team that beat the Penguins. I grew up a big Penguin fan, and they were back-to-back cup champs with Jágr and Lemieux, and I thought for sure they were going to win it again, and you guys took them out, and that was a great series. It beat a great Penguin team.
Yeah, I mean, we were the underdog, obviously, going against Pittsburgh. And I remember Al Arbour telling us that, we have nothing to lose. We're going against the best team. But at the same time, he was saying they're beatable, And we started that series. No one was obviously believing it, that it would be just a close series, not even a close series. And we brought that up to the Game 7, and so that's what happened. And when you get to Game 7, who knows anything could happen from there. And we got to go in overtime. And I don't know if you guys remember this. It was actually from a pass from Ray Ferraro to David Bolek for one-timer, and that's how we won that series. And it was spectacular, obviously, and beating the champion team and all the players they had the other side, Lemieux, Jágr, and many more. It was just a great feeling. And obviously, that's many years ago, but we still remember that very well.
Yeah, you broke my 13-year-old heart at the time. But could you believe Jaromir Jagr is still playing in the freaking league?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't believe it. That's crazy. Because you know what? When I stopped, when I was 37, I stopped playing. And I was ready to stop because those back-to-back games, I hated those back-to-back games. Getting up the next morning and feeling sore, I didn't like it. And I can't imagine, he's 44, still playing, and he's moving well, too, at the same time. That's crazy.
Pierre, when you walked into Busch Stadium and you saw 40,000-plus fans filling the stands, and then again, 46,000-plus fans filling the stands for the Winter Classic, yep. How did that feel, just seeing such a growth in the Blues fan base?
You know, it's, I think the fans and St. Louis deserve this, too. And, you know, they're great fans. They're good hockey fans. And for me personally, walking down just the hallway and right before you get on the ice and you get on that ice and you're looking around yourself and seeing the people there was just spectacular. And it just... And see the reaction at every person that got introduced and having a great reaction to the every players that got introduced was unbelievable. And then you have Wayne Gretzky on the ice. I mean, obviously, you know, to me, it was one of the best players or the best player ever played the game. And it was, and then Brett Hall, and then many more. So it's just a privilege to be a part of it. That's what it was really for me.
Let's backtrack a little bit. We got a couple more questions for you there, Pierre.
No problem.
Look, there's a 30th year anniversary coming up of that World Juniors fight between Canada and Russia. And you were on that team with Brendan Shanahan and a bunch of other guys, and it was so chaotic. They had to turn the lights off. The cops came. Can you go through that unbelievable scene 30 years ago and just kind of tell us about what the hell happened there?
It was a lot of years ago, obviously, but we somehow we needed to win by 2 or 3 goals, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember that. And all of a sudden, it was a tie game, and a fight started in on the ice with one of the Russian and one of our players, and next thing you know, the one of the Russian was helping his guy and another guy, and next thing you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, one of their guy jumped on the ice, and all of a sudden, there was free fall. I mean, it's a gate open, everyone went on the ice, and a lot of guys were fighting, and I went on the ice. I actually wasn't fighting. I had a guy with me that wasn't, but didn't fight, so... I was fine with that. I'm not a big fighter. I'm a lover. So I'm totally okay with that.
Me too. Me too.
Now, were you the only guy on the bench, though? Because that's – and Wikipedia says you were the only guy on the bench.
Yeah, that's Wikipedia, though.
That's not true. That's right. That's what it says. I read it, too.
Hey, you can't – yeah, the Wikipedia is good. You can't rely on anything on that.
Not really, but that's okay. I don't know. Whatever. But I was on the ice. I wasn't fighting, but I was on the ice.
We believe you.
But it doesn't matter. So it's. But the experience of it was amazing. And on top of all this is, when we actually got off the ice, we went to the locker room, and from at that point, you couldn't even go to the restroom. You couldn't even go anywhere, and they had guards lined up to go to the our locker room, and they had from the locker room they had more guards going all the way to the bus, and you couldn't get out of that line, and you really had to go to that bus, and they actually, from that point, they kicked us to the country right away. We couldn't even stay there, and so that's the story behind all this. It's just got off the ice, and I think an hour after we were out of the country because they didn't want us there anymore, but, you know, that's what happened. But they actually... Coming back a little bit on that fight, we thought that it was a fight on the ice, and they shut off the lights, and thinking that it's just going to get better, it got 10 times worse. Some people took advantage of it, and obviously when it was down south after that, and obviously we couldn't finish the game, and we got disqualified at the tournament, and So, but I didn't know it was the 30th anniversary. Is that what it is?
Yes, they had a big article about it in the Hockey News, and I knew you were a part of it. I had to bring it up, but I do have one more. I got to get to this real quick, and I know I appreciate this, Terje. I really do appreciate this, buddy. Now,
you're welcome. I
played against Dale Hunter. You know where this is going. He coached against me in the OHL. He had the London Knights powerhouse, and I coached against him. And you know how hardcore that man is, and he's passionate for the game, and he'll do anything. Do you obviously you remember that play where you scored that goal, that huge goal, and he hit you. Oh yeah, you don't remember? It's because he hit you, and you and he hit you 5 seconds after the whistle. Can you tell us about that? Because we've all seen that hit.
I don't remember, but I'm kidding. Yeah, obviously. celebrate. I mean, obviously, that goal actually got them out of the playoffs, and that's the same year that we won against Pittsburgh too. It's that we were going against Pittsburgh, and we won after that. So yeah, it was that actually that goal made it that disqualifying, and we were winning that series after that. And I think it was a matter of being a lot of frustration, and that's the reaction he had. I heard good things about. I never actually talked to him 3 days after he apologized, but it was so fresh that we didn't really communicate with all that. And then we never really talked about it. But you know, it's been so many years that at one point you move on in life. But it was a tough one because I missed a lot of games against Pittsburgh, and I wasn't able to be a part of it. So yeah.
And then it affects you. I mean, you separate your shoulder like that. You're not the same until you have a summer break.
Yeah, I came back, and I came back to game seven against Pittsburgh, and then I missed the first game against the Montreal Canadiens because we went against the Montreal Canadiens. And after that, I was part of it, but I had half a shoulder. I couldn't really play and really battle around the boards and pushing and competing around the puck, and it was hard for me just to do what I was able to do. So it took me away from doing things on the ice, no doubt about that.
Yeah, but, man, you still did your thing, and you sucked it up, and you played anyway because you're tough, man. And, look, I appreciate meeting you. It was an honor to meet you and to hang out with you and everybody. You had a hell of a game in the alumni. Everybody was cheering. We all miss you in St. Louis. We hope to see you soon, my man, and come back on the show too, all right?
Very good. I will. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Pierre Turgeon. All right. Man, oh, man, that was cool talking to him. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been watching him for a long time. My family loves him. They love watching him play. And he was great with the puck behind the net. And, man, oh, man, it's just an honor to have these guys on like that who I just met at that event this weekend. So
what a
cool
career
stuff
he had.
Oh, my God.
That series in the early 90s, man, when they beat the Penguins, that was an incredible
dominated
series.
He dominated, and he's a great teammate, too. You hear nothing but good things about him. So really cool. It's just cool to see. Look, I haven't met. He's one of the guys I haven't met yet. I grew up watching him. And then just to go and to be in the locker room and to meet these kind of – Hannah, you were right there, too. Mm-hmm. Just to meet these kind of guys that you've never met before, that you grew up watching. Now you're talking to him on a show. You're interviewing him on a radio show. It's just, for me, that's totally cool, and he's such a cool cat too. He could have probably talked to us for another half hour because he's got a lot more. I got a lot more stories and questions for him too. So, but you know,
when you were talking last week saying that Vladdy needs somebody to feed him the puck, they need to find a guy like
that's
Turgeon.
A great Ooh. Maddie. That's a great point, dude.
Well, thank you, man.
Damn, dude. Yeah, no, Turgeon would be that'd be unbelievable.
Oh, that's the exact type of guy they need.
He right can there. Still play.
Yeah, he just scored twice. On
he's
Saturday.
Like he's like Terry Yake, man. They still got it. They just have a nutch athleticism where he can still move around the ice. And Yaker's a great skater. Yakers could still skate, but they just have that hockey sense where they could just. They could play still. Like I said this on the morning show. If Yaker was dropped into a game right now, I'm telling you, he wouldn't be. He might be a little step behind. He probably could only play up period, but he'd be able to get by without embarrassing himself. I guarantee you that. But very cool. That was fun. But Maddie, though, we that was
talk
a good
about
point.
Meeting people that you never thought
oh,
you'd
God.
Meet.
Oh, well, look what we did. We met a couple guys. What's up, TJ? You got something?
Well, you never told the story about how we almost didn't get to meet him walking into the stadium.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I might as well say that real quick. Yeah. Well, we're going down. Me, you know, I got two tickets. Okay. I didn't want to give everybody, all my buddies, they all had tickets and stuff. The tickets are expensive as hell. And I'm not going to buy cheap tickets and have somebody sit in the cheap seats. So I just got two tickets, and I was debating on what to do in that press pass we got handed. I got a press pass. And so I told. So I felt like I can go in the stadium with just a press pass. So I gave one ticket to TJ, and I gave one to Kate. So we're all going down there, and Kate's looking at my press pass, and she's like, why does it say alumni game?
She didn't say this till we're walking in.
No, until we're walking in. She goes, why does it say just alumni game on it? And I'm like, what? And I look at it and it goes, press pass for the alumni game only, or whatever it said. And I'm like, oh my God. It just took us an hour and a half to get down here. I don't have a ticket. What am I going to do? I went all through all this, and I can't get in for the main game because I don't have a ticket?
And you played for the freaking Blues.
I played
Blues.
For the Blues, but that doesn't matter because it's tough. Like, this different security, okay? So I'm like, oh, my God. I just realized, like, and all of a sudden I turn around, I see Reed Law, and he goes, what's up, Jay? I go, what up, dude? He goes, you need a ticket? I'm like, okay. He gives me a Winter Classic ticket for a suite. I mean, who does that?
Like, he came in to ask him. He just no. brought it up. What's up, dude? I got an extra one. You need one?
I'm like, actually, yes. You read my mind. So then we get that ticket, and I didn't want to separate ourselves, so we had to mingle. I go, TJ, let me work my magic. We're going to go to a box, because otherwise we wouldn't all sit together.
You missed the funny story in between that.
What?
Walking up with Reed.
Oh, what? What?
When Reed almost stole that kid.
Oh, my God, that's right. So Lozy was there, right? He's got his two kids there. And he's walking in, and there's so many people everywhere. And the one, this kid that looked just like is wearing the same, because everybody's wearing the same damn thing anyway. This other kid, so Lozy goes up to him, and Lozy's about 6'5", looks absolutely horrifying if you're a child. I mean, my God. So Lozy goes up to this kid and kind of grabs him by the back and goes, let's go. You know, and the kid's like, help me, Dad. And Lozy looks around and goes, Jesus, that's not my kid.
He goes, my bad, wrong kid, let's go.
Oh, my good God, Lozy. He was like a nightmare.
Listen, he took three steps with this kid. Let's go. Yeah, he's like, walking up, and they're getting on the escalator.
Him. He was stealing
my
him.
My bad, wrong kid. See
oh
you, dude.
Oh, my God. That was so funny, man. Oh. Yeah, and yeah. Lozy's, you know, if as a child, you look at that monster, you're like, it's the scariest thing imaginable.
And he didn't stop to explain who he was. That would have definitely helped him out. My bad. I'm Reed Law.
If we would have done it, I'd be like, oh, my God, sorry, sir. Oh, sorry, kiddo. Like, let me introduce myself to your dad so you don't think I'm a creep.
Right.
Yeah, I know. No, none of that. Lozy didn't care.
All he said was, my bad, wrong kid, and walked straight up the escalator.
What I want to know, Kim, is what was your plan if you had not gotten that ticket and you get up to the gate with a media pass?
I work my magic. And I did work my magic. Talking. I did.
We
and
got it,
We walked in there, and I wouldn't have been able to, we wouldn't have been able to sit in the same spot because I had a random ticket that Lozy gave me.
You were in a suite.
In a suite, but still, I wouldn't be with Kate. You would have been sitting with Kate, or you would have been by yourself in a suite. It just wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
So I had to finagle my way in through layers and layers of security to get to the boxes because, look, I don't want to sit in the same seat the whole damn time. I want to mingle. I want to go to a box. I want to say hi to my buddies, Mikey Rayner and the guys. And then I want to go and I want to say hi to Brett Hall in another box. And I want to go to another box and say. But you can't just do that in this scenario. So I had to mingle my way in. And then Kate, so you mingle your way up to these boxes and you have to talk your way in and talk your way in. And I finally did and got to all these boxes to see everybody. And then Kate's like, let's go meet Derek, one of my cousins. I'm like, no, because we're going to have to walk back through the security. But we did anyway. We went back down there and met with Derek. And then I had to mingle our way back all the way back.
We didn't really meet with Derek.
No. We go down there. And the one thing I have to say about this whole scene was.
Oh, this was weird.
The bathrooms, for the men's bathrooms, the lineup was like through the roof. And there was a lineup miles long. I couldn't believe it.
And then
the women's, there's no one in there.
There's not a single person in the girls' line.
Usually it's the opposite way.
Yeah, that's why we couldn't figure it out.
I couldn't figure that out.
Guys are quick.
I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're just, Derek's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Derek's like, I don't know. Oh, my God.
Yeah, assuming the position. It's like when you really got to go.
So, we're like,
we're
going to go stay up in those boxes where the bathroom's right there. And
you were so mad at Kate.
I was so mad at her.
Walked me down to Derek to talk to him, sit in line for the bathroom.
And now I got to get us back up there without a ticket. Without a ticket.
We almost didn't get back up.
I know. I don't blame him, though.
Yeah.
I wasn't being rude. I was just like, hey, man. And finally, they let us up there. But I had to do it.
Your whole weekend, basically, was just walking in the rooms that you had no idea what was going on.
I know. Well, when me and Maddie got to hang out with a couple of big boys, eh? Brett Hall, Bobby Hall, and Tony Esposito.
I'll say this about that. That was really cool. My dad really appreciated that, probably more than me. I'm going to fast forward that story a lot to the end when we're trying to escape that whole thing. And then we can come back around and fill it in. Chris Pronger is insanely tall.
Oh,
like he's uncomfortably.
You
tall.
Guys would have laughed if you saw
he's
me
funny.
Interviewing him.
He's
he
funny.
He did the interview while on skates, and I'm standing there reaching as high as I can with the mic, and it maybe went to his chest.
Well, we come in, we went downstairs as he did an interview thing, which should be up on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, we did Sports Illustrated interview him.
Well, we come back up, and I say, "Oh, Pronger." He say, "Oh, where's he at?" I'm like, "Just look up."
Look at the ceiling.
He's like, go talk to him. I'm like, okay, let me introduce you to him. Prongs is a cool
guy.
He is totally cool. He's going to come on the show. Mm-hmm. He is a cool, cool cat.
I asked him, I said, how did you prepare for this game? You know, you have to go out and do some old techniques and practice with the guys. He goes, I went and I skated the day before one time, and I just was ready to go.
He's still in shape.
He is, because he's a natural. He's just natural. He's natural. But I do, I got a kind of funny story about Bobby Hall, though. You know, I'm sitting there. Me and Bobby Hall and Brett Hall and Tony are in the back of this little, like, backstage before we went on stage together. And we're signing these, like, posters to for KMOX or whoever it was at the time. And we're signing them. And I signed, like, five in a row, like, do-do-do-do-do. And Bobby looks at me and goes, hey, kid, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, your signature's all over the damn place on these things. I'm like, oh, Jesus, sorry, sir. He's like, you see, I was going to sign there, and you put your signature there. Now I got to move mine. And I'm like, God, hey, did he not say that to me?
Bobby Hull walked in and said, I need a chair.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing he does, he stands there and waits for him to put a chair down.
Oh, yeah.
And he sits there and signs a stack of pucks, and everybody brings him everything.
Oh, yeah. And then he gives me this dirty, dirty look because, you know, he's old school, man. Like, he's signing where he signs, and his signature needs to stick out more than everybody else. And I'm an idiot, and I go there like, do-do-do-do-do, sign. And he looked at me like this punk kid signing where I'm supposed to sign. You know, you're particular when you do that because for him, signatures mean a lot. Like, he makes a lot of money on his signature, mm-hmm. and, you know, it needs to be in the right spot. Like, they're particular about it, and obviously I'm not. And he stared me down. Oh, my God. It was the most intimidating thing in the world. But those two together, oh my God, they were so funny. They were so real and so funny together. And it was just an absolute honor to be up there with those three. And to have me involved in that was a little overwhelming. But it was cool, and it was cool for Maddie to be in part of that too, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Man,
that was great.
And the Halls, did you see you guys may not notice this in the stadium, they didn't have a puck for them when they dropped the puck at the opening of the game. They're standing there, they're waiting, no puck, and then the ref skates over with the puck for them to drop it.
Oh, yeah, he was probably like, okay.
Cool. Brett walks in 3 minutes before the thing starts and just gives his dad trouble as soon as he walks in. He's like, you don't have to sign your number. They all know it already. Let's go. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, they're all putting Hall of Fame next to their name, and I'm like, oh, mine looks stupid. And right, he's like, just put St. Louis Amateur Hockey Hall of Fame next to him. I'm like, oh, good idea. But then I felt like Bobby was going to yell at me for that, and I didn't do it. I did. I thought he was going to get mad at me. But they were great. They were really cool. They put up with my stuff. And Holly doesn't care. Trust me. He doesn't care about anything, to be honest with you.
Had a cool weekend, man.
That was a cool
It's a good time
weekend.
To retire. You'd have missed all this.
I know. Could you imagine? And nothing against Nottingham and the fans who I love. They're so passionate. And the team I bled for. But if I was over right now, I would have missed out on a lot of things. And that'd be a setback. Big time on my next career, no doubt about it. Mm. And everything works out for a reason. And but boy, oh boy, I knew that I made the right decision doing this, and especially going through that unbelievable weekend. Very fun stuff.
You got mentioned on the NBC broadcast too, Cam.
Did I?
Yeah, they were talking about they had a graphic of the five first round picks from St. Louis and St. Louis Amateur Hockey, and they talked about some of the pioneers. Like,
yeah, the OG, I call it. No, it's good, man. They're all the guys. All the media, there's tons of media there. And actually, when Charles Glenn was doing the national anthem for the alumni game, I specifically walked right behind him, stood on the bench right behind him because I thought the camera was going to be right at me, but it just missed me the complete. I thought I was being clever and smart trying to get on camera there, but it definitely didn't work. I know. That's how pathetic I am.
That's what you get.
I know. I'm like, yay, look, Mom, Dad. No. Oh, you're okay, yeah.
And those alumni that Hitch was making fun of,
yeah, they
came
held
to play. Their own Saturday, and they looked pretty good.
And you know what? Hitch didn't jinx himself, and they came to play, and his boys came to play too. And he looked stylish with that hat as well.
Absolutely. 855-282-8255 is the text line. 855-282-TALK. We'll read some of your texts coming up. This is the Johnny Londoff Line Change here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com.